of those who have given their lives in service of our country. And we're glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. A special welcome if you're visiting for the first time. If you are a first-time visitor, we have a packet we'd like to place in your hands. If that is the case with you and you have not received that packet, if you'd raise your hand at this time, the ushers will bring one to you, as well as some information about our church. There's also a visitor's card inside. If you take a moment and fill out that card and drop it at the offering plate when it's passed, we'd appreciate having a record of your attendance with us. Again, welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church. Brother David Jones is going to come at this time and lead us in prayer.
Lord, as we approach your throne of grace this morning, come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the name of Jesus. The name is above every name. Thank you, God, for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you for paying that sin debt that we owed and could not pay, and you didn't know it, but you came and paid it for us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for each one that's come this way today, Lord, and thank you for this church and each person that's here today, Lord. Lord, we pray your blessings on each one, and pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will have the freedom to do his work in each of our hearts and lives today, Lord. Lord, we pray that you just use the songs and the music and the singing, the praise and the worship, Lord, to honor and glorify your high and holy name, and prepare our hearts, Lord, for the message and the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's lost, we pray that they'll come to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that free gift of salvation today, before it's everlasting too late. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, we pray for those on prayer list, Lord, those that are sick. Touch and heal those that stand in need of a healing touch from you. You are the great physician. Lord, we thank you for this country that we live in, America. Thank you for being able to live here in freedom, Lord, that we have. Even though we're losing freedoms each day, Lord. Lord, we pray that you just continue to bless this nation. Lord, I know that we're honoring Memorial Day, Lord. We honor those that have given their lives, that we might stand here, sit here today, and worship you in the freedom that we have today. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Lord, we praise and honor and glorify your name for who you are, because you're worthy to be praised and honored and glorified, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I pray now that you just go with us through the furthest of this service. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this nation again. Help them thank you, God, of the blessings of being able to live here in America, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd have mercy on America for our sins, Lord. Lord, they made laws that contrary to your word. Lord, we praise a lot of times the sin of abortion, the sin of homosexuality, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd have mercy on us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our president, Lord. That you will help him, Lord, to look to you for leadership and guidance in making decisions for this nation. Lord, I pray that you just keep Satan at bay, Lord. You're trying to destroy the things that he's trying to do for America, this nation that you've blessed and so much, Lord. You've been in the making of America, the raising up of America. And Lord, we know that Satan wants to destroy that anything you try to raise up, that you try to do, what Satan wants to destroy. Lord, he's more subtle than any beast of the field, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be aware of his devices. Beware the lion, Lord. He's a roaring lion. He sits between he may devour. Lord, we look to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, because you're above all things. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Go with us now through the furthest of this service. Have your will and way in each heart and life. Help us to be sensitive to the leadership of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' high and holy name. Amen.
phone in with you. Would you take a moment and turn it to vibrate or turn it off? We'd appreciate your cooperation. Take your songbook, turn to page number 51. Let's all stand together as we sing America, page number 51. Service at the Consulate Rehabilitation today. Lunch is at the Dairy Queen on Highway 192 in Kissimmee. If you'd like to meet there after the morning service for lunch together, and then we'll gather at the Consulate Nursing Home at 3 p.m. and have a short service there. This afternoon at 4:45, Financial Peace University continues. 6 o'clock, church-wide prayer. There will be no youth or children's choirs this week. Beautiful girlhoods. No, okay. And then our evening service at 6:30. Wednesday evening, the Discovery Club and the Youth Zone, I guess, are on hiatus for the summer. And so everything will get started at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. And then Thursday, June the 1st, men's soul-winning visitation at 6:45 p.m. Birthdays and anniversaries, just birthdays. On the 1st, Jill Spencer, Adam Hall, and if you would add Cindy Yarborough, all having birthdays on June the 1st. Take your songbook, turn to page number 137. You may remain seated as we sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," 137. C-A-R-R-I-E, and it's Carrie Sherrill. Cheryl. Carrie Sherrill. So we make that change. And let's see, Sister Burgos is home recovering. She does thank you for your prayers after her surgery and continue to pray for her complete recovery. And then if you would add Lauren Seymour, a young man, a nephew of Sister Ellen, who was injured and partially paralyzed and will require surgery. So add Lauren Seymour to your prayer list as well. I take your songbook, turn to page number 57. Let's stand together as we sing Amazing Grace, and the ushers will come forward on the last verse. Page number 57.
Oh, Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and your wonderful, wonderful grace. You know, the word says, I exalt thy name in all the world, Jesus. How great is your name, Jesus. Greatly be praised and honored and glorified. Thank you for that overwrecking cross, Jesus, where you shed your precious blood that we could have eternal life, Jesus. I just pray for each one to come this way today, Lord. When your word is preached today, Lord, that they find comfort and peace in your word, Lord. We just ask for those on our prayers, Lord, to be each one. We pray to God, family, Lord. Just lead up family that travel, Lord, to take their, this is Marty takes her husband up to the grave, Lord. We pray to be each one up, Lord, and just minister to them. When your word is preached, Lord, there's somebody there, Lord, it's not saved, Lord, just coming out of the Jesus. Thank you for this church, for the doctor, for the commanders, the stands, Lord. We have a path to Lord. Just let it be refreshed, Lord, in your precious divine word, Jesus. And Lord, we just ask for this offering, pray that you use it for your honor and your glory. And we just ask, Lord, that whatever we sow in this life, we're going to reap, Lord. So whatever we sow in you, love, mercy, and grace, we're going to reap, Jesus. So let us sow the things that are greater than our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, what a great and mighty God you are. Bless and minister all in your name, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, Mrs. Barbara Jones will sing.
And I For a couple extra days, and I was planning to leave later this week, heading to our first vacation Bible school in Alabama. So we're excited about that. We're excited to be here today. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel 24. Really enjoyed the music this morning, the choir and the special, the offertory. Everything's just a blessing. Praise the Lord for the godly music. And boy, your church sure has been a blessing to us this past week. Brother Jimmy came over earlier a couple days ago and did some work for us in our trailer. It was his idea, and we'll have all my illusions in the back. It destroys my blind when we drive down the road in our RV, and so he built some things to protect the window, so that was a great blessing. Really appreciate him doing that. His wife coming out as well is a blessing. And also yesterday, the men's prayer breakfast was a blessing as well. Brother Chris's testimony really was a great encouragement. And so we appreciated getting to be a part of that. And also on Monday night, got to Brother James and let me come speak at the baccalaureate service. And so that was a blessing as well. And the Lord knows all that happens in those events. The lady raised her hand to say she got saved. But again, the Lord knows all that. But we're just thankful to be able to be a part. Appreciate the opportunity. But this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 24, we're going to talk today about a guy who just has a great name. In fact, probably the greatest name of any man in the Old Testament. And his name is David, which just happens to be my name. And my wife pointed out there's several Davids in the church. And so that's good stuff. But 1 Samuel chapter number 24. And here in this part of the Word of God, King Saul is very jealous of David. In fact, he's so jealous of David that he has one goal in mind. I want to find him. I want to kill him. And so that we pick up in part of the story, and boy, as you look at this story, let's go ahead and begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen, how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. What a great story here in 1 Samuel. As the stories come back to you, I'm sure. King Saul, the Bible says there he has 3,000 chosen men. That's not just soldiers. That's like the special forces soldiers of the day. I mean, literally, he has 3,000, verse 2 says 3,000 of the expert soldiers that he has. And their mission is to find David and kill him. And so they're looking throughout all of the land, trying to find David. And they hear he's in this part of the country, so they go to that part of the country, and they can't find him. So Saul's like, you know what, guys, I'm getting kind of tired. And the Bible uses the phrase that he went in verse 3, to cover his feet. Basically, the idea he wants to take a nap. I just want to understand, and most scholars think. And so he says, you know what, there's a cave, because there's kind of caves all over this area. There's a cave, I'll go in that one. And he goes in a cave. As you remember, the only cave where David actually was with his men. You know, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, I mean, that's pretty funny right there. And so Saul goes and he lays down, and David and his men are like, hey, look at this. This is your chance. This is of God, David. God gave you Saul to kill him. You know, we have to be very careful to assume God's will because of circumstances. Sometimes we kind of manipulate, oh, this must be God's will because of all these things, when it is not God's will at all. David's men thought this was, but David had the wisdom, like, wait, this is not right. This man is not just any man. This is God's anointed, and I am not going to put forth my hand against him, even though this guy was trying to kill David. So David picks up his knife, and he tiptoes over to King Saul, and he cuts part of his clothes. And even that, the Bible says his heart smote him. Even that bothered him. Man, I don't know if I should have done that. That was the king's clothes. I mean, what a perspective David had against the Lord's anointing. So then Saul, he wakes up, you know, walks out of the cave, and then David comes and says, Hey, King Saul! King Saul looks around. Is that David? Like, you can imagine the fear. What? Wait a minute. I didn't have my soldiers with me. I was by myself, and he was in there with all of his men. I'm sure as David came to the mouth of the cave, his whole group was right there with him. That could have easily killed me. And David bows before him and he says, King Saul, I'm not trying to kill you. And in fact, look, I could have. And he holds up the piece of Saul's clothing. I could have killed you. I'm sure as King Saul looked down to see the tear and the piece of his clothes that was missing, he's like, man, he got that close to me with a knife? He could have easily taken me out. He is not my enemy. And a lot, you know, some other words are said after this, but this morning, what I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes is on this subject is how to handle your attackers. How to handle your attackers. Your attackers can come in different forms. It can be people who are not saved that are, you know, giving you a hard time because you're a Christian. Your attackers could be just a boss that's really hard to get along with. Maybe a neighbor, sometimes a spouse. I don't know. The attack can come from many different directions. But I want to take a few moments this morning and look at how David handles his attackers. This was not just an attacker. This was a guy who wanted to kill him. And got a whole group of soldiers with the same goal in mind. And what is David's response? Number one, what David does is David treats them with mercy. David treats them with mercy. You know, I'm amazed as I look at the heart of Jesus Christ throughout Scripture. Our God is a God of great mercy. Great mercy. Here, not only did David respond with Saul's mercy, but he also influenced his men. You know, David could have said, you know what? I'm not going to put forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, but you know, there's more of you than me. I can't keep you guys from doing it. You know, and could have let them do the wrong thing. David would have been, you know, he could have talked his way out of it. It wasn't my fault. Not only did David do right, but he even influenced the others to do right as well. Look at verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words. Boy, David was able to convince them, hey guys, let's not do this. This is not the will of God to take vengeance into your own hands. Look also, as you can see, verse number 18. You can see, the Bible says, in fact, Saul was admitting this to David. Saul is speaking here in verse 17, and he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. Wow, David, and Saul, from a very real perspective, said, David, you could have easily done. I was trying to do you wrong, and you could have just claimed it was self-defense. But not only did you not do that, but you dealt well with me. You showed mercy to me. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:23, speaking of Jesus, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. You know, when someone attacks you, and maybe the attack is just they misrepresent you, or they mischaracterize something that you did, and it's like, no, that's not at all what I did, and that's not at all what I meant behind what I did. But, you know, they twist things, and they really get things mixed up. So easy to lash out and put someone in their place, isn't it? That's what our flesh wants to do. But the heart of David, the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to respond with mercy. Amen. To respond with mercy. I encourage you, when you're tempted to lash out and get back up, oh yeah, well, and retaliate, ask God to help you treat them with mercy. There was I saw this in a very, very real way. I was at a Bible college, and I was at the beginning of the semester of most Bible colleges. They have kind of an opening of revival meetings, set things to get students, you know, and right with the Lord as the semester begins. And there was this freshman. I mean, it was his first couple days on campus, you know. And as you know, as freshmen in any college, they know everything, right? And so that was this guy. He knew everything, he thought. And in fact, I sat behind him in one of the services, and while the preacher was preaching, he literally had his arms folded and was shaking his head. Mm-mm. Nope. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about, you know? And the preacher was preaching exactly the truth of the Word of God, and I'm like, who's this guy think he is? And, you know, just very prideful and arrogant, thought he knew everything, and, you know, to make a big show during the message that he disagreed with something that was said. And so he, you know, marched right up to the preacher right afterwards, and the preacher was a friend of mine, and marched right up to him and began to rebuke him, began to tell him how the wrong things he was doing. And so the preacher talked to him and really responded with great self-control, right? And anyway, after a couple of days, this student wrote a letter to the president of the college, really just chewing him out, telling him all these things that were done wrong. And I thought, oh man, he's asking for it. All right. Some colleges, you get a letter like that, it's pack your bag, son. All right. It was nice meeting you, but we don't want this attitude to infect the rest of the student body. You know, very And that's not a bad, I wouldn't necessarily fault a person for doing that.
I was amazed as I watched this president. He called him into his office and he talked to him about the letter. And just that short conversation, I was amazed at how the president, instead of putting him in his place, he treated him with mercy. And what happened is he won him over to himself. And really, you can see dramatically from before the need to afterwards, just the heart change this young man as he was much more humble and much more respectful and everything had changed. The student ended up, you know, continuing on, finishing the semester, and I don't know if the Lord led him different after that, but I just thought, man, what an amazing thing that when a person who had the power and maybe the right to put someone in their place, he treated them with great mercy, and in the process, won the enemy over to himself. Amen. You know, that's the Christian way to deal with an attack, is to treat them with mercy. I love the story of Jim Elliot and the men with him as they went to try to share the gospel and try to evangelize that violent tribe, the Aka Indians. And you know the story, as they went to, you know, they would kill any person that came in. They would just kill them. Wouldn't ask questions. They would just take them out. A very violent, deadly tribe to deal with. And so, you know, they began flying the plane over and dropping packages, you know, dropping gifts and all these things, trying to kind of soften the hearts of the people. And it was a time to make their first approach. And as they made that approach there, the missionaries, they had weapons on them, some firearms at least. And they kind of talked to him back and forth a little bit. And when the big meeting came, as they came to talk to them, the tribe had a misunderstanding about something that had happened. The tribe attacked them and killed all of them. And later, you know, I mean, what a sad story, but it's amazing how God has used that to see so many people called into missions from that story. And even that whole tribe was evangelized shortly afterwards. But, you know, I thought about that. I thought, man, those missionaries, I mean, this was a primitive tribe. I mean, they didn't have any modern weaponry at all. These missionaries had firearms. They could have easily defended themselves and preserved their life to keep sharing the gospel. But they didn't. They allowed themselves to be martyred for Christ. And you had to know that the Indian, that had to confuse them. As they realized, man, they had weapons. They did not kill them. Why? Why? Well, it was written by some of the widows of those people that they said the reason why we didn't do that. Or they, you know, obviously they couldn't talk afterwards, but they had kind of determined beforehand that in a situation, if we were to kill them, if the missionaries were to kill those people, they would die and go straight to hell. But if they killed us, well, we would go to heaven and they still have a chance to be saved. Wow. What a perspective on life. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not saying that's always the answer, but I'm just saying, man, you talk about people who understood mercy. People who had the ability to force their way, but instead, boy, put the other person first. You know, it's amazing how an act of mercy can win the heart of a person. What else do we see here? We see also what David says in verse number 12. As David is talking to King Saul, verse 12, David says, "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee." Number two, what David did with his attacker is he gave them to God. He said, you know what? I am not going to take this situation into mine own hands. Sometimes that's what we do. We get attacked and we take control of the situation as if God is not strong enough to handle, as if God needs our help. And you know, we mess things up. We make it worse, or we cause more damage. Instead of responding the right way to a personal attack, instead of David saying, you know what? I'm going to fix this problem once and for all. Hey, I've already been anointed king anyways. That's not what he did. He showed mercy and he said, you know what? I'm going to give this over to the Lord. Maybe there's something this morning that you need to give over to the Lord. Maybe there's someone giving you a hard time and you're just frustrated with this person. What you need to do is you say, God, I am trying to take control of the situation. And Lord, I'm gonna give this over to you. I love 1 Peter 5:8. What a great verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Maybe someone needs to cast some care upon the Lord and realize that he cares for you. He's the one that can give you that strength to help the attack. Number three, I thought this is a practical point. What we find here in verses 9 through 13, we find David reasoning with Saul. He was reasoning with him. You know, I think that's good wisdom. How do you handle an attack? Try to reason with him. Hey, King Saul, if I was really trying to kill you, then, I mean, if I was really your enemy, then I would have fought back. I would have taken up a look. I did. I could have killed you, but I did not. And boy, just the logic of the situation, King Saul realizes, man, you're right. Well, you spared me, and you didn't have to. I know later on, Saul, you know, he goes back in and still starts pursuing after David, trying to kill him. But at least for a while, David's reasoning with him brought peace. And so I would encourage you, if you're getting attacked, sometimes there's personalities that kind of are more caustic personalities, and they don't necessarily know that they're rubbing you the way that they're rubbing you. Sometimes it's just a personality thing. They don't really realize how much it's hurting. So reason with them. Talk to them. And do everything you can. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And the Bible says this, and this is a challenge. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, I think we like to ignore that verse sometimes. Don't we? But the Bible, man, with everything you have, try to bring peace even to those who are attacking you. Reason with them. I encourage you this. Leave your situation in such a way that you have no regrets. See, sometimes they attack and we retaliate and now we're both in sin. They were in the flesh and we're in the flesh. We can try to justify it all we want, but we're in the flesh and we've had the wrong attitude. We've had the wrong perspective. And so, boy, strive to say, Lord, I want to respond to this attack in such a way that I have no regrets, that I've done everything that is right in your sight. As Jesus talks about turning the other cheek. Number four, look at verse number 8. I think this is one that most of the time we fail in this area when we're attacked. Look what David does in verse 8. So Saul just leaves the cave in verse 7. Verse 8, David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, hey, you big jerk. Know what he says? No, he says, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. How did David respond to his attack? He can't speak to me that way. Doesn't he know that I killed the giant? Doesn't he know all these battles that I have won for him? I have served him. I have put my life on the line over and over for him. He can't speak to me that way. That's not what David did. That would have been true. David shows, here's number four, David showed great humility and respect. Great. Even the language he used, my Lord the King. You mean the guy who's trying to murder you? Yes, my Lord the King. And David falls flat on his face. He bows on his face. What humility David has. You know, most of the time when we're attacked, you know what happens? Pride. Our stinking pride gets in the way. Only by pride cometh contention. Well, when there's some contention in your life, I'm telling you, there's pride involved. That's what Proverbs says. Only by pride cometh contention. What does Proverbs 15:1 say? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. But when we are getting attacked, what we need to do, I love what John says about Jesus. He must increase, I must decrease. I don't think we live that way. We live, I must increase, and I must increase more. That's how we live. But that's not the Christian way. The Christian way is others first. He must, even the ones that attack us, yeah, put others first and show great humility and respect. And And that's the Christian way to deal with an attack. I'm going to go to another story in just a moment, but let me point out one more thing that I like here. I think this is a practical thing, what happens at the end of this chapter. So basically, Saul says in verse 28, "And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." David, I know you're going to be the next king. So, because that's true, swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. Hey, I know you're going to be king, David, so please, I'm begging you, don't destroy my family. Don't wipe my whole family out. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up unto the hold. So Saul has his 3,000 soldiers. They make peace. Saul takes the soldiers and heads back home, and David goes back in the cave. I wrote this down. Number 5, be wise about how vulnerable you make yourself. You know, even though that now David and Saul are kind of buddy-buddy again, David doesn't go on with him. David was wise about putting himself in vulnerable situations. Because maybe about an hour on the way back, Saul says, you know what, forget it. Attack them, you know, and he takes them all out. But David goes back into the cave. And I think sometimes, especially when it comes to our families, we can allow our families to be more vulnerable than they should. So the thing is, ask God for wisdom. This is not a retaliation thing, and I don't want... I just think the practicality of it, David says, hey, we got peace, but we'll see you later. You go that way, we're going this way. And so be wise about how vulnerable, about opening yourself up to extra attacks, all right? Fast forward to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Fast forward here, and this is years later. I mean, David had been king for a while now this time. And in fact, David had done many great things and won many, many battles here. And as you look at David, we see here that this time the attack comes from someone so close to him. Someone he least expected from, his own son. His own son Absalom. It's not just that Absalom got upset at his dad. Here in 2 Samuel 16, Absalom had really created a civil war. And as he created the civil war in Israel, he turned the hearts of the people against David. And in fact, so many people were swayed that David and his few men, they just abandoned the king. They left the palace. And when the armies of Absalom came to attack David, they just left. They didn't stay. And finally, they were gone. And so now Absalom has taken over the palace. And now, once again, he's gotten all Israel to pursue after David to kill him. And it's amazing how people can turn their loyalty. You know, I love the heart of a pastor. You know, I was talking to your pastor Friday night? I can't remember. Couple nights ago, no, it must have been Thursday night. And boy, your pastor has a pastor's heart. You know, that is a blessing, because sometimes people who are the most loyal to you can so quickly turn. And that, boy, that hurts anyone's heart, especially the heart of a pastor who really loves him. You can just tell someone, can you imagine just the people who David has, I mean, David fought their battles. I mean, David was the one who made Israel a prosperous nation and beating the Philistines and amassing great wealth, and there's great prosperity throughout Israel, and now the whole country is turned against him. His whole army is trying to kill him. And so, if that weren't enough, so David left the palace, if that weren't enough, here comes this guy, Shimei. And this guy, Shimei, is coming and cursing David. So let's pick it up here. 2 Samuel 16, verse number 5. Here's what the Bible says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men who were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon me all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into thine hand, into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. The king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zerah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said to him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." So you get the picture here, right? So David had left the palace, but he still had some of his elite soldiers. I mean, Zeruiah was a warrior. He was one of his mighty men there. And here comes this guy, Shimei. He's cursing at David. He's throwing dust at him. He's saying all this stuff. And Shimei is one of those guys. He was not the sharpest tool in the shed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, David's soldiers are right there. He's by himself. You know, he's a few fires short of the happy meal, right? I mean, this guy is not very smart to curse David with his warriors right there. And in fact, David's like, Zeruiah's like, "No, David, I got this. You stay right there. I'm going to go over and, you know, I'm going to push the mute button. Yeah, mute. All right. I'm going to take off his head. He's gone. I'm taking him out." And David's like, "No, how does David handle this attack?" Well, I wrote this down. Realize they probably don't understand the whole picture. In the middle of this stressful time, David was able to step back and say, wait a minute. Shimei. Who is this guy Shimei? And the Bible points out, verse 5, "Behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul." Now this makes more sense. Why is Shimei so mad at David? Because Shimei was from the lineage of the previous king. And Shimei, for years, a couple of decades, I mean, David's an older king at this point. For a long time, Shimei has thought, you know what David did? David killed Saul, and David killed Saul's descendant just so he could take over. What? Is that what David did? No. In fact, David did the opposite. David could have done that. David could have killed Saul, but he did not. Multiple times he spared Saul. And even when his couple of guys went and killed Ish-bosheth, David had them killed. David, I didn't want this. I wasn't going to kill the Lord's anointed. And so Shimei had things so mixed up. Shimei for years had thought that David was the one who had killed the previous king. And so Shimei is angry. He's been bitter for years at David. And David is able, in his own attack, David's able to step back and see the attack from the other perspective. That's not easy. You know what I'm saying? It is not easy to be able to look at your attack from the other person's eye, but David had the character to do that. In fact, that's what he says in verse 11. This is such a logical statement, but it's not an easy thing to say. He says, "Hey, behold my son, which came forth from my own bowels, seeking my life. My own son wants to kill me. How much more now may this Benjamite do it?" Hey, if my son wants to kill me, it really makes sense that Saul's son would want to kill me too. So, you know, Saul's lineage, that makes a lot of sense. And again, what a man that even though he is in this stressful attack, he's able to realize, you know what, Shimei, he really doesn't understand the whole picture. Well, I encourage you, try to step back and see your attack from their perspective. It doesn't always make everything go away, but sometimes it gives you some extra perspective on the matter. Look what David says in verse 10. He says, and for the end of the verse, he says, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" In other words, he says, you know what? Maybe God sent him. What? What are you doing wrong, David? I don't know. Maybe this attack, and here's what I wrote down, number 7, consider. Consider the possibility of your attack being from God to make you better. You know, God does allow tests in our lives. God does allow us to endure things, and it's not because God hates you. It's not because God wants to make your life miserable. It's because he wants to make you better. Consider that the attack could be from God. David was able to say, you know what? Maybe God sent him. In verse 11, he says, "Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." Maybe this situation's from God. Wow, that is not an easy thing to admit, is it? But you know, it's so true that the wounds that cut us the deepest may be the best way to soften your heart. Those wounds may be the best way to get you more like Jesus. The famous sculptor Michelangelo, and as you know, he's an amazing artist all around, and he did an incredible statue of David. And as he did that statue, as the story goes, someone came to him one day and said, "How in the world, how do you create such masterpieces? I mean, this is just unbelievable detail. How do you create such masterpieces?" He says, "Well, this." He says, "You know, I just start with the block of material, and I begin chipping away everything that doesn't look like David. I begin chipping away every piece that doesn't look like the goal, like the end result. Okay, this piece right here, I'm going to chip that, and you know, this doesn't match, I'll chip that, and I'll chip this away." And that's the same thing God does to us. What God wants to do is He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Sometimes God allows us to go through attacks because there's something in your heart, there's something in your life that doesn't look like Jesus. And the only way to get that out is it's a little painful. But God's trying to chip some things away out of your heart and get some things. Why? Because you know what? That attitude, that's not Jesus. And you see that retaliation? That's not Jesus. And you know what? This whole pride thing, that is not Jesus at all. And God sometimes is chipping away at some things in our lives. Why? Because we need to look more like Jesus. Sometimes the attacks are the only way to make you better. My dad has counseled me in our lives in some attacks we face. He says this. He says, "You know, learn the lesson that God wants to teach you quickly. That way, you don't have to have a repeat course." I think that's true. Sometimes, why do I have to face attack after attack after attack? Well, maybe because you're not getting it. Maybe because you're not learning the lesson that God's trying to intend for you to learn. And maybe that's not a comfortable thing to hear, but maybe that's what God's trying to do. As I hasten here, two things and I'll be done. So, number 8, look what he says in verse number 12. He says, "It may be," this is really good, he says, "It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." I wrote this down. The attack may be a way to get extra mercy from God. Maybe David says, "You know what, if I pass this test, if I do what's right, maybe God's going to requite me good. God is going to bless me more if I respond to this attack in the right way." That is so true in our lives. When we do respond the way a Christian ought to respond, it's amazing how God does bless your heart and bless your life in the good that He gives you. But you do have to respond in the right way. And finally, here's the last thing. Look at verse 13. So after this whole attack, after they, you know, Shimei keeps, you know, is in fact, he's still cursing David here. Verse 13, "And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust." So David's kind of continuing on, but he's following him. I mean, he's nagging him. You know, he's still cursing. He's still casting dust. He's still really bothering David. But look what verse 14 says. "And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there." You know what David did after this attack with Shimei? David says, "I quit. This is Christian life. It's too hard. Forget it." Nope. It's not what he did. He just kept on doing what God wanted him to do and kept on going the direction that God wanted him to go. You know, the question is, in your attack, is your attack going to make you quit? Is your attack going to make you drop out of church, get angry at God, and get far from the Lord, and get hard-hearted? Or are you going to keep going the direction God wants you to go and keep doing the things that God wants you to do? That will really be the test of whether or not you've passed the test if you continued on going how God wants you to go. I don't know who this message is for this morning, but boy, this is the Spirit of Christ to respond with mercy in an attack. Why should we do that? Because that's what God's done for you. We see when our sin is a direct attack against Almighty God, God hates sin, and because of our sin, not only is it an attack on God, but because of our sin, you and I deserve to die and go to hell. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to, He loves us even though we were sinners. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't just say, all right, stop that, I don't want to hear from you. No, God reached out to us with mercy and grace and forgiveness and says, you know what? Your sin has been against me, but I love you anyways, and I'm going to forgive your sin if you call upon me as your Savior. And maybe you're here this morning, and you don't know that mercy from Christ. You don't know that grace from Christ to be totally forgiven from all of your sin, to know for sure that you are saved and on your way to heaven. I'm telling you, this morning, the mercy of Jesus Christ is available to you. But you have to receive it. You have to call on Jesus and receive Him as your Savior. If you've never done this morning, why not this morning you choose to receive Christ? And friend, if you all have done that, if you have received the mercy and grace of Christ, who is it that needs to see your mercy and grace? Who is it you need to love that's not very lovely? Person that's not very lovely that you need to love and pour out the mercy. Maybe it is a co-worker. Maybe it is a boss. Maybe it is a family member, a spouse. I don't know who it is, but boy, this morning I ask you, will you choose to respond to the attack the way that David did? Let's stand on our feet this morning, and as the musicians make their way to the instruments for the invitation this morning, you stand on your feet and close your eyes for a moment. I wonder this morning, how many of you this morning would say this? With your eyes closed, you would say, you know, Brother Dave, God is speaking in my heart right now about someone I need to show mercy to. There's someone I need to exemplify that mercy to, and God's speaking to me about that this morning. If that's you this morning, with your eyes closed, would you raise your hand? Amen. God bless you, folks. You can take your hands down. The altar is open. I encourage you, would you still out of your seat? Would you come pray about that? Maybe you need to come pray about some pride. Say, Lord, there's someone that's attacked me, and I just swelled up in pride, and God, forgive me for that. Help me to humble myself. Maybe this morning someone needs to come and say, Lord, I just had such a vengeful spirit. I just get so angry, and I feel like I need to put them in their place. And Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me for that attitude. Help me respond with the mercy of Christ. Some are praying this morning. I wonder, there's someone here that would say, David, I need that mercy. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to see Jesus' mercy in my life. I need to be saved. If that's you this morning, with your eyes closed, would you raise your hand? David, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved, and I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Raise your hand this morning. Anyone like that? We would love to take the Bible, take you over to a side room, and show you how you can be saved. Anyone at all? If that's you, you can come forward down to the front, and we'll find someone. Go ahead and come as we sing. Thank you.
remember the activities of the day, nursing home ministry at 3 o'clock, prayer time at 6 o'clock, and then our evening service tonight at 6:30. Brother Scott Ventures, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the honor and privilege of to be in our house this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we just thank you for the message today. Let us be able to place it in our hearts and do it and be better service to you and be more understanding, Lord, and more loving, Lord. We just pray for those who are on our prayer list, Lord, that you bless each and every one. Bless our missionaries, their families out on the foreign field. Pray to keep them safe, quiet, and peace. Bless the pastor and his team as they're celebrating their anniversary.